Welcome to the No Shame On You podcast, your go-to for eliminating stigma surrounding mental health challenges. Join us for heartwarming stories, expert tips, and a community that thrives on compassion. Let's erase shame and embrace change together.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the No Shame On You podcast. We have a really amazing special guest today who I am just so honored has made time to talk to the No Shame On You world. Today, we're talking with Michelle Hammer, a schizophrenic activist who spends her time fighting stigma. She's on the No Shame On You team already. She's a New York City native featured in a WebMD documentary called Voices, which is actually the first thing that I watched about her, and was nominated for the Tribeca X Award at the Tribeca Film Festival. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia at age 22 after a misdiagnosis of bipolar at 18. And at 27, Michelle decided to use her artistic talents and fearless personality to do something that could benefit the mental health community. In 2015, she founded a mental health focused clothing brand called Schizophrenic NYC, and you can find all this in the notes of our podcast. It's a clothing brand with a mission to reduce stigma by starting conversations around mental health. She's been featured all over many publications, and also has been featured on TV networks, just some small ones like ABC, NBC, and CBS. And Michelle, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I'm so glad that I'm here. You know, no shame on you. No,
you guys are going to find out where to follow her. She is one thing that I love about her content is, first off, she keeps it real. She says it out how it is, and she has a great sense of humor. And so I automatically was intrigued and I reached out. And first off, can you tell us a little bit about, well, what is schizophrenia, just for our listeners who are new to the show?
Sure. So what is schizophrenia? Not told to you by a doctor, but by a schizophrenic, this is what I can say. There are three main symptoms of what schizophrenia is, and that's positive symptoms, negative symptoms, and cognitive symptoms. Positive symptoms, they sound like a good thing, but they're not positive. A positive thing just means they're an add-on to your personality, like having hallucinations or, like, you know, hearing things like that. The negative symptoms are things that take away from your personality, like being very isolated, not talking to people, being very quiet, things like that. And then cognitive symptoms are more like your ability to learn, to retain knowledge, to really understand things, and all of that. So it's a combination of all of those symptoms. Everybody with schizophrenia deals with them at a different capacity. So no two people with schizophrenia are really alike.
And for you, you mentioned in your bio that you were misdiagnosed with bipolar before receiving the schizophrenia diagnosis in your early 20s. Can you tell us about that experience and what was going on for you and how that felt to be misdiagnosed and then figuring out what was going on?
Well, the thing is, like, I feel like almost you could almost diagnose every college student with bipolar. Just think about it. Like, just think about it, you know? Oh, I've got this big test. I'm so stressed out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to cry. I can't even handle this. The next day, let's go out and party. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like you can diagnose almost every college student with bipolar. It seems to be, like, almost the easiest thing. Plus, the guy was, like, going down a checklist. Yes, no, this, that. And I knew something wasn't right with me. So I thought if I just said yes to a bunch of answers that maybe I'll get fixed because I just wanted help. And I thought if I said no, he wasn't going to help me. So I was just like, kind of. And then it was very confusing because it wasn't a conversation. It was a checklist. So, I mean, that's how I got misdiagnosed because, like, the doctor I was speaking to pretty much sucked.
That'll do it. Thank you for keeping it real. What at that time, what most concerned you? What were you hoping to fix? Like, what did you know was wrong and not wrong?
Well, if you go back, like starting like somewhere in high school, I started hearing voices, but I didn't think that other people didn't hear these voices. I thought that everyone, like, you know, heard a voice saying that, you know, everything you say is so dumb, everything you say is so stupid, just stop talking. And I also believe that my mom was trying to hurt me, sabotage me, or want me dead. I believe this. So, you know, I mean, you can imagine our, you know, situation growing up, you know, high school, you know, and the hormones. Plus, I think my mom's trying to kill me because I'm an undiagnosed schizophrenic and no one knows I have it. So then when I went to college, I think like, oh, I'm free. This is great. And then all of a sudden I start having those same thoughts about my roommate. And I'm like, wait a minute, this makes no sense. This like, this does not make any sense. So then I was like, okay, I need to go to the health center because something is obviously not right. So that's where I was like, okay. So I tried that for a while. And I was on like medicine for bipolar, but that didn't work. So I spent twice my freshman year, I ended up in the psych ward. And then once my sophomore year, I ended up in the psych ward too. So then I had to find a new doctor that would kind of help me. But I'm still in like, you know, upstate New York. Who really knows what I have? Who knows? I'm not really talking to the doctors that much. And I don't know what he really diagnosed me with, but he just put me on a pill that actually really calmed me down and really, really helped. I was just really bad at it, taking it like 3 times a day within like the right time. But like, that's the only thing that actually helped me. So it was kind
so
of
then
like a
you
whole
realized
weird time.
You realized like it was that was that the an aha moment that
yes that, that was the oh my god it was me the whole time oh my god this makes no sense
oh my goodness. And did you get through college? Did you finish?
Yes, I did.
Amazing,
amazing. Because I was on the lacrosse team. If I was not on the lacrosse team, I would have never made it through college. My coach was a really big help to me.
Wow. Okay. And tell us, well, for you, what are some of the hardest parts of living with schizophrenia? And you mentioned there's some positive things. So for you, what is the positive?
I mean, you mean the positive symptoms you meant? Or
yes.
What?
Yeah, you
well,
mentioned
no, the
positive
symptoms just mean that they're an add-on to your personality, like hallucinations or delusions. It doesn't
okay.
mean they're actually like a good thing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the hardest part for you now that you are, you know, you're on medicine that might work or just needs to be tweaked or, you know, for now?
I think it's sometimes frustrating because sometimes you think things or you remember things, you don't know what's real or what's fake, or you take one story and you turn it into like a million stories and you like wrap your whole mind around an idea that doesn't make any sense. So sometimes your memory is, you're like, did that happen or did that not happen? But you, even when people tell you that that didn't happen, you're like, they're lying to me. It totally happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what inspired you to become so open about it, given the stigma? There's stigma surrounding all mental health challenges, but schizophrenia is a more intense and serious mental health condition. What has given you the motivation and power to speak out about it and share your story with everybody?
Well, there's really like a few things that ended up like adding up to the whole thing. When I was first diagnosed, I was bummed out. But when I hung out with like my friends from college, like they were visiting this city. I'm sitting at a table with them and I was like, hey guys, I want to tell you I got diagnosed with schizophrenia. And they all look at me and they give me this look of like, there, and they just go like, and you one at a time, isn't that what you had the whole time? That could have not been more obvious. And yeah, we told you that. So I'm like, is this for real right now? So like, if the people that already knew me and didn't care, why am I going to care so much what other people think that don't know me? So there's one thing that did it. The second thing was, this is such a huge part of me. Why can't I tell people? Like, you already know me. If you're not going to like me after I tell you something about me, why are we friends? And then it was also, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to make a change. I couldn't work for other people anymore. It wasn't working out every time. I worked in a bazillion industries. And then I was on the subway and I see a schizophrenic guy and he was homeless and he's just talking to himself like I talk to myself. I'm like, what is the difference between me and him? I have the support of my family, friends, and doctor. And if I didn't, I would be homeless just like him. So let me try to do something to try to make a difference, try to change this, and just people talking about mental health. and schizophrenia, because really nobody was talking about it at that time. So I just like went for it. And I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I'm doing it.
So how long have you been doing this?
Far too long.
So you mentioned your friend that you have your friends and family who have been there for you. You know, what has been the most helpful thing for you? What advice would you give to friends and family who might have a relative who's diagnosed or a friend? You know, what can you talk about that?
I would just say, like, be very patient with the person, you know, have a lot of patience and realize that sometimes they might say mean things, but they don't actually mean them. And if they say they hate their medicine, try another medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many medicines did you have to try until you found something that worked? I know this is a thing for a lot of people.
I feel like 10.
Wow. And how did you keep up the hope?
I didn't want to live like that anymore.
And in addition to medicine, what else do you do that really helps keep you well?
I do a lot of artwork. I used to play a lot of sports, but I'm starting to feel that pain as you get older, you know, that pain that you get.
Yes.
Can't really do that sports stuff as much anymore. Maybe some yoga.
I'm a rotisserie chicken now because I have to flip during the night or else I have pain on a certain side.
Just wake up in the morning and you're like, what did I do? Like, I didn't even do anything. Why am I in pain?
Ugh. So
it hurts.
It hurts. So you do some things, but you also take medicine. And then if you're having like a bad check a period, your doctor will make tweaks as necessary. Is that what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
That works. So I want to hear about your clothing brand. When did you start it, and what has the reaction been from the community?
I started it, I mean, almost a decade ago or something. Like, and I always get mixed reviews, especially, you know, within comments on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Everyone I meet likes this idea, except for one guy. He told me that his friend would have hated this idea. And I was like, well,
don't,
that's good your friend didn't show up today. But, you know, I get a lot of really good reactions. And like, people like what I'm doing. They like that I'm talking about mental health. You know, they like that I'm bringing awareness. They like that I'm like trying to make bold statements, that I'm out here, I'm sharing my story. I'm talking about like schizophrenia, which still, even within everybody talking more about mental health now, there's such a stigma against schizophrenia because people can't believe that I'm schizophrenic and I can have this job. They're like, well, that's why I don't think you're schizophrenic. You must be faking, because I know people with schizophrenia. They don't act like you. They couldn't do this. Oh, they couldn't? Is how really? Real, that's just stigma, bro.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions
that I can't post to social media? Apparently they're like, no, nobody with schizophrenia can post to social media. Listen, that is just stigma, you idiot. There's a lot of people with no diagnosis that still can't post to social media. My grandmother could never post to social media. She ain't crazy. You know what I'm saying? My mom learned recently
how to post.
Yes, she learned recently. She learned recently. She posts some interesting things.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did your relationship change? I'm bouncing back to your mom, because you mentioned in growing up you thought she wanted to hurt you and kill you. And how has your relationship changed since your diagnosis and you understood it was a symptom of schizophrenia?
I mean, it's much better. But
that's good.
I'm still infantilized, you know.
Keeping it real.
I'm the baby.
How many siblings do you have?
Just one older brother. But it still makes me the baby.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I'm the baby, and I have a twin sister who's only 1 minute older than me.
You're the baby. I'm the baby.
I get it. So my next question is, what have you seen over the 10 years that you've been an advocate? What have you seen? Because things, I hope, are moving in the right direction as far Yeah. What have you seen and what do you hope to see?
Well, I mean, there's a lot more schizophrenia advocates like coming up. Like there's been a lot more people talking about mental health, more mental health like in the workplace, more mental health in school, like people that are actually learning about it, you know? Like I didn't learn, I barely learned about mental health in high school. I don't know if I even learned about it in middle school. Definitely not in elementary school.
No, definitely
you
not.
You know, there was, I didn't, and I mean, I would only learn about it in college if I took a psychology class. But I think in college is where you should really learn about it. Like if you haven't taken it in anything before, I think college students really need to learn about mental health, and that should be a required course.
I think
you know,
so.
Because especially how they say it usually hits you in your adulthood. Well, maybe that statistic, I don't know if that's right anymore because everyone's getting diagnosed younger.
That is true. What do you hope to see in the future?
What I hope to see in the future, I mean, that we're there's, I mean, less stigma. You know, every time there's like some sort of mass shooting, the person was mentally ill. Oh, they were mentally ill? Really? It wasn't that AR-15? Okay. They were mentally ill. Yes. And also, I was like seeing crisis in mental illness is public, but wellness and mental illness is private. We want to share more stories of people thriving with mental illness, you know? And then soon after that, it'll just be like, I'm just thriving. Mental illness is just a part of me, but I'm just thriving and I have a mental illness, but that doesn't matter.
You know, looking, if you could talk to your younger self, do you have any advice or somebody younger or any human who is diagnosed or is not sure what is going on? What would your advice be or a nugget that you've learned over the years?
I mean, honestly, I feel like I would just be like, listen, just find the right meds and take them. It's the only thing that's like really helped. And then, you know, surround yourself with positive people, people that are actually going to build you up. Because you have, kids can be cruel. And then kids that sometimes can claim to be your friends are actually just really mean to you. So, you know, don't think they'll be so insecure that you just want people to be your friends because you don't want that now no friends. If those people who claim to be your friends are actually mean to you, don't talk to them anymore.
It's so true.
No matter what.
And that's a lesson that takes time for all young people, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So where can people find you and follow you? What are your platforms? Where can they get your swag? Where can they follow you?
So my website is schizophrenic.nyc. My Instagram is schizophrenic.nyc. My TikTok is schizophrenic.nyc. We'll see how long that lasts. We'll see what's happening there. And then my YouTube is just schizophrenic.nyc, no dot. You find me on all those.
What's your favorite platform?
I kind of like Instagram and YouTube. And then because I'm all worried about TikTok like coming back, then going away, then it went away, then it came back. And I'm scared that it's actually going to leave forever. So I don't really know what's happening there. But I kind of like Instagram and YouTube. They're fun.
Do people reach out to you all the time on these platforms just with questions for themselves or
yes,
for friends and family?
All the time. Every day. Multiple times a day. Every single day.
How do you keep up with that?
Well, on some of them, I know that I can't help them and answer their questions, so I don't reply.
Okay.
And on some of them, I will reply.
Okay.
But if I know that I can't give them an answer because they're asking me a question that's absolutely impossible, I'm not going to reply with, I can't help you. I'm sorry. You know?
Okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Does that take a toll on your mental health, or do you just let that's just the process? And
I mean, it used to, but I feel like now it's like it's been so many that if I try to help every single person who's messaged me, I'd be busy for years.
It's so true. Have you ever thought about being like a peer support specialist, or is that not
I've thought about it. Yeah, I've thought about it. Just
another
get
possibility.
One
of the things that I noticed while watching your content is you are hilarious.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
If you think so.
So my first question when I was coordinating this meeting was, have you thought about comedy? And you said, yes. Tell us what you're thinking about.
So, yeah, the whole beginning of it was I did a like stand up for mental health or something. It was this whole like workshop and then we all performed, but it was during COVID. So we kind of did it over Zoom. So I like built this whole comedy routine with the help of the guy that was there. And the thing is, I provided every single piece of information. It all really, really happened. He just helped me make it into more of a funnier, presentive way to say it instead of me just telling you the craziest stories that have ever happened. He was like, we're just gonna fine tune it this way. So then I through a comedy show, I had gotten some funding from Janssen, and I threw this comedy show and I had a bunch of people there, and one of the schizophrenic guys was Cody Green and one of the schizophrenic guys was Dan Laitman, and from that we kind of all have been talking, and then we decided to we were all at the NAMI New York State conference, so we decided to do one of our comedy shows there, just the three of us, three schizophrenic people, and the crowd loved it. Like, they went crazy in a good way. It was like it was so funny. And so we've decided that we're somehow gonna go on a tour, but then there's like that's the plan. But every time we make a meeting, it's always like, okay, guys, so how do I write the email to ask the certain people? Okay, we'll figure it out. Then I'm like, okay, so how much do we want to get paid? I don't really know. I'm like, I'm sorry. Working with three men, why can nothing get done in these meetings? No, everybody would be like, oh, I don't know. Oh, well, I don't know. And I'm like, okay. And then I'll try to list off things we need. And they're like, oh, I don't. Oh, I'll do it and get back to you. And I'm like, my God, these men can get nothing accomplished. But it's happening.
You gotta get another woman on board.
We will be throwing a comedy show. We're going on tour. What?
Okay, wait. You gotta put another woman on board.
Yes, we need another schizophrenic woman who does comedy.
I'll keep my eyes open.
If you know one,
you will be my first call.
Who's available to apparently go on a tour, which might happen if somebody will tell me how to send an email. What is the right way to email?
Well, when you go on tour and you want to come to Chicago, I'm one of your contacts because we are a comedy, a comedy city with Second City starting here.
See, if I told them I got another person, they'd be like, oh, who is it? Should we make a list of people? Oh, that might be a good idea.
Make a list of contacts.
Oh, send me the list of people. Yeah, let's get that list of people. Oh, okay, great. Okay, talk to you guys next week. Those are the phone calls, these people. I'm just making fun of them.
I'm ready to support.
These guys, I can't even.
I'm ready to support. And I was so thrilled when you said the answer was yes, we are working on a comedy show.
Yes, we are working on a comedy show, and it's coming to you as soon as possible. We're going on tour. Schizo stand-up, a crazy good comedy tour. Coming to your city. Holla at you, girl.
Okay, cool. Well, first off, and finally off, thank you for all that you do to help reduce stigma, and sharing stories is one of the number one ways to do that, according to studies. And you're doing that every day. And what is your thoughts for someone listening who wants to be part of reducing stigma around schizophrenia or any mental health condition? What is one actionable thing they can start doing today? What's your advice?
One actionable thing that you're doing, they just stop stigma. I mean, start making videos, start posting online, do the whole social media thing, or you know what? Just start going like to open mics or stuff and make some speeches. Do your own thing.
Share your own story, whatever fits for you.
You know, start be a loud voice, you know? Be loud.
Do you remember the first time you ever told your story in public? Just curious.
My first speech was at NYU. I was terrified. Wow. I was terrified.
How did you land that? You went to school there, I remember. No. Okay.
I did not go to NYU.
Oh, why did I think that? I read that somewhere. Okay. How did you land that gig?
Someone from their mental health club
Okay.
Read an article about me and then asked me to come speak for them. And I was like, is my first real speech really at NYU? Okay. I think I did probably really bad, but it was my first speech.
How did you feel after?
I felt okay.
Well, you kept going, and that is inspiring, and it always gets better, right?
All right.
If sure I'm enough. Doing, you know, whenever I do mental health presentations and workshop, if I have three back to back, the first is not so good, the middle is better, and the last one is, you know, each time you do it, it gets a little bit better.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for being here today. As I said before we hit record, you are a hero and a celebrity. You know, thank you for making the world a better place. And we're going to put in the comments all of the places that you can find Michelle. And I'm right now raising my coffee to propose a toast to you. Keep doing amazing things. Keep gaining followers. Keep feeling good. And thank you for showing the world that you can be a success and live a normal life while living with schizophrenia.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the No Shame On You podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, be sure to connect with us on all social media platforms. Explore our free resources at www.noshameonyou.org. That's the letter U, not YOU.org. Remember, every action counts in our mission to end stigma and save lives. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, take care and stay inspired.